That was John Gorka. He has a brand new album. It's called Unentitled. Really nice to see a new release from him. And that's one of my favorite songs on it. It's called Particle and Wave. And speaking of favorites, we've got Chatham Baroque here. It's been a while since they've been able to join us. Scott Pauley, Andrew Fouts, and Patty Halverson are here, and among other things, we'll talk about Baby Baroque at the New Hazlett Theater, which is a week from today, October 25th at 3 o'clock. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's Baby Baroque. Oh, yeah. And who can tell me a bit about what that will be?
So Baby Baroque is one of our six what we call peanut butter and jam sessions, and they are programs for especially designed for preschoolers and their grown-ups. So we do them six times a year, and this one is a little bit Halloween themed, but only slightly spooky. So for that age group, it's very kid friendly and appropriate. And we play real music from the Baroque period, but we also mix in like dancing and movement and stories. We're joined by Linda Wingard, who is a kinder music instructor, and she's great, kind of reading the room and knowing what the kids need at that moment. So it's got some flexibility built in for that special young age group.
And if you're an adult with very young children and you're wondering what kind of behavior expectations are there going to be? I can tell you from personal experience, you don't have to worry so much. While it'll be nice to introduce your kids to concert etiquette, there probably will be some clapping and running around, I would imagine.
There could even be some crying.
Some
but
crying.
Not because of anything we're doing. Just, little kids, they do what they do.
Yeah, and it's a great opportunity to help kids enter the world of live music, any kind of live music.
But as you said, Larry, we don't expect perfect little concert goers at this age. So don't worry if you think your child might not last a full 45 minutes of classical music. There's a lot of opportunities for moving around and stories and different things are happening, activities. So it's not just a full sit still and be quiet for 45 minutes. There's a lot of fun and interactive things happening.
And that applies to you, too, as an adult. So don't worry if you're concerned about sitting still for that long. Now, I mentioned about an hour or two ago that there are very few times that I wish we had cameras to show as if a television station would or a live web feed would video that's in the studio. But this is one of those times because, and I am going to try to grab a couple of quick snapshots and put them up. But the instruments you're playing are important to describe. And one reason you might want to go to the concert is just to see these amazing instruments that the trio are playing. And can you help us understand what each of you is holding?
Well, I'll start because I have perhaps the most recognized.
We're going to get you a little closer.
I'll start because I perhaps have the most recognizable instrument, the violin, which is a four-string string family of instruments that includes the viola and the cello and the double bass. This one is just the highest in range with strings tuned in fifths. And my violin is actually a pretty new violin as violins go. It was made in 2013 by a maker who lives in near Providence, Rhode Island, a beach town called Warren, and who makes historic instruments of all types. In fact, Patty can tell you about hers, also made by him. And in the Baroque, they used all sorts of different models of bows, different than what a modern bow sounds like with an orchestral violin player and looks like. And so I have a much shorter and kind of outwardly shaped bow.
I noticed right away that the bow did seem shorter, and it also seems, I don't know what the parts are, but it almost looks like, it never occurred to me that the bow used to shoot an arrow is similarly constructed to the bow to play a violin, because I'll call it the string, I'm sure it's something else, and the support are actually about an inch apart. Usually with a violin, they seem to me like they're closer together.
Yeah, that's an important distinction of the different style of bow, too, is that the bow kind of bows outward. It has a convex shape to it, an outward arc. And so it does look a lot more like a bow from a bow and arrow. And then the string part is actually on any bow, old or modern, is made out of the tail horse hair.
Ah, okay. And how does the sound, so the bow, it sounds to me, it can influence the sound of the violin pretty dramatically. How does that happen?
Oh, yeah, a great deal. It's funny, it doesn't even touch the string, but the wood, the quality of the wood, its flexibility and balance makes a big difference. Obviously, you want to have good sticky horsehair on there. We spread tree sap, a hardened tree sap sort of, or a blend of different resins that we call rosin.
Mm-hmm.
And that cakes on, kind of powders off, and makes the horsehair a bit stickier. So it grabs the string, which on our instruments, our strings are made out of sheep gut, wound sheep gut, and it excites it to vibrate. And that vibration is carried through the body of any instrument and amplified by its natural acoustic properties. And the different style of bow just means it really articulates differently. And throughout history, the progression of any instrument through time, you see how the music is better expressed by the way they prioritize the kind of mechanics of the instrument.
Fascinating. It's details. I'm thinking of this today I learned abbreviation, TIL. You know, today I learned that there are different bows and variations in bows that can affect the sound mm-hmm. of a violin. Now, Patty has an instrument called a viola di gamba.
Da gamba, yep.
Yeah, and what is, I can see six strings.
Yep.
I see a lovely face in the headstock that's mm-hmm. beautifully carved. Mm-hmm. Tell me about this instrument.
Sure, it's called a viola da gamba, and everything Andrew said pretty much about his violin, namely the strings made out of sheep gut, and I guess you didn't talk about wood, but in any case, there's a lot of similarities between my instrument and members of the violin family. But my instrument has six strings. The viola da gamba has six strings typically. And I've got frets on the neck. And my bow grip is quite different from Andrew's. So my bow is not shaped like his, because I hold my bow in an underhand, with an underhand grip, kind of like holding a cereal spoon. If you had, you know, cereal this morning, just think about how you hold your spoon. And so I'm touching the horsehair with my fingers, and that's how I produce a sound, is that sort of pressure and then release.
And in your case, the horsehair is even a little further away from the back, at least it seems that way as I look at it. Maybe not, but
I don't know. And bows vary a lot.
Yeah.
So I own five bows right now.
Certainly a bigger bow than mine.
It's bigger. Yeah. Bigger instrument. I mean, this is kind of cello size.
Yeah. I was going to ask: is the instrument looks maybe a little smaller than a cello?
Yeah, and it I cart it around in a cello case, so that's already confusing information I'm giving, but it is more lightly constructed, so it's not as loud as a cello. It's not as full a sound, and that works with a lot of Baroque music and a lot of the kinds of halls we play in, which are, we like live acoustic spaces for which really help our gut strings sing.
And how old is the instrument with you today?
This was built in 2003.
Oh, it looks so much older.
Well, you know, it's been used a lot, so it's a little bit, I must say, a little bit beat up. But the builder, Carl Dennis, Andrew mentioned, in Rhode Island, he would rather see that than have this pristine-looking instrument that might appear to just sit in a closet all of its life.
Yeah, and I mean, too, just the design, not so much the wear and tear. It just, when you see an instrument like this, you think it's, you know, from a century ago, just looking at its beauty. And now we're going to go to Scott, who I'm sure what you're holding always turns heads, and I'll let you describe it.
Yeah, so I'm playing what's called a theorbo, spelled T-H-E-O-R-B-O. And it's basically a large lute. So it's from the lute family. And a lute is a little bit like a pear-shaped guitar. And it goes back all the way to medieval times, and if not before. And the lute originally came from North Africa from an instrument that's still played today, the oud. And so the lute is just the kind of Europeanized oud that evolved separately once it arrived around 1000, the year 1000, and then went through very many iterations of kind of getting bigger and bigger. And this one is really the largest one we have that has a whole extra extended neck that accommodate this low bass string. So if I start from the top and go down on these long bass strings, you'll hear it's just tuned to a scale.
Wow.
And so I have that scale, and I can change that scale according to what key I'm in, but I don't have the ability to change those pitches once I'm playing. They're open strings, almost like a harp. And then I have a neck that's fretted, much like Patty's neck, that has frets tied on it. Not metal frets like we have on most guitars.
So you have 13 strings.
Actually, 14 altogether, yeah. I have 7 short strings that are fretted and 7 long strings that are open strings without frets.
So you can do a chromatic scale, maybe.
Well, I can up on the high, up on the other shorter neck where I have frets, but I can't do chromatics down here because I don't have any work.
You don't have any frets.
Frets to you know, change those pitches.
Wow.
So it's almost like having a bass and a guitar together is how I describe the sound. So I can play a chord up high, and then I can add the low bass note. So it's kind of a nice combination. I grew up playing both the bass and guitar, and this instrument kind of really attracted me because of its both, you know, guitar and bass-like qualities.
Yeah, it's amazing. And just so you can imagine, I think the neck is about, it's almost, I'd say 4.5 feet maybe.
Yeah, that's right. I think the entire instrument is pretty close to 6 feet long.
Yeah, so it's mm-hmm. amazing. And it does look like an elongated guitar with extra strings.
Right.
But as I said, I'll get a picture of it up so you can take a look at it.
Yeah, there's a lot of beautiful features on all the instruments. Like Patty's got a head carving on the top of her gamba that is made by the instrument maker's wife, who's a wonderful sculptor, artist. And, you know, the theorbo has a 3-circle rosette carved right into the top that is really gorgeous as well, if you ever see one up close.
Now, and is yours also from Rhode Island?
No, mine is from a maker in London, England, a guy named Klaus Jacobson. Yeah.
And do you know roughly when it was made?
This one was made in the around 1992, and it was rebuilt after a little bit of a mishap on an airline trip.
Oh, no.
So it was rebuilt again in, I think, 2017. Yeah, the neck. And now I have it set up so the neck actually will fold.
I noticed that, and I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
You've got a hinge there.
Yeah, there's a hinge, so that makes travel much more easy, and I don't have to check it underneath the airplane anymore. I can actually bring it inside the plane. So that's a big relief now.
That's a good thing. Well, if you're just joining us, Chatham Baroque, you just heard musicians, Scott and Andrew are co-artistic directors. Patty is the co-founder of the organization. I hope I have that right. And their performance called Baby Baroque is at the New Hayslope Theater, Saturday, October 25th at 3 o'clock. And they have two pairs of movements that they're going to share this morning. And the first, I believe, is from Bach. And would you like to mention the specifics and then jump into playing?
Sure. The first selection is by Johann Sebastian Bach, who really, his dates kind of define the Baroque period historically. He was born in 1685. It really began in 1600. I should say his death date in 1750 kind of marks the end of the Baroque, and we get into, you know, classical music. Mozart was born not long after, for instance. And this is one of his few instrumental works for chamber music. Bach wrote lots and lots of vocal music, but this is a sonata for violin and continuo, which is the part that both Patty and Scott will be playing in the bass. And we're going to start with slow adagio, which kind of translates to at ease, and then a lively vivace, which, as you might imagine, is vivacious.
Here's Chatham Baroque. Thank you. live music on the radio. Created, let's see, 10 plus 4, 24 strings amongst 3 people, if I'm doing my ciphering correct. And I did put a short video up on our Facebook page at SLB Radio if you were wondering what the instruments and the people look like, so you could get a sense of it. That was simply beautiful and also beautifully simple. It was really easy to lose yourself in those pieces. I'm not sure if it's the instruments or the composition, but it just, I don't know if accessible is the right word. It was just very calming.
Oh, thanks.
To listen.
Yeah, a lot of people find it relaxing and maybe transporting to like another time and place, you know.
That's a
right.
I think you're right. It seems like we're having tea and maybe crumpets. you've got some adult. We're talking about Chatham Baroque, or is it Baby Baroque, taking place a week from today, October 25th, at the new Hazlett Theater at 3. First of all, there are other concerts in the Peanut Butter and Jam series.
There are, yes.
Yet to happen. And probably the best thing to do is go to chathambaroque.org and click on Peanut Butter Jam Sessions.
Yeah, we should have a whole tab on those. There are 5 remaining ones, including the one on Saturday the 25th at the new Hazlett Theater. And we'll be back on the north side actually in April at the National Aviary. So we'll be doing a program that features, you know, music having to do with bird songs and bird-themed music.
How nice.
Yeah.
And then there are also more shows more suitable for adults that are, you know, concerts that you can attend. How can we learn more about those, and when's the next one?
So our next adult concert is on the same day at the same place, but just in the evening. So it's Saturday, October 25th at 7:30 p.m., and it's called Tales and Tunes of the Baroque. And it's kind of a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek look at the darker side of Baroque music. So we have, we have kind of insects, like spiders dances, mad dances. We have ghosts and arias sung by sorceresses and witches. And, there's a few composers who met untimely deaths for various reasons that we go into in that show that we won't do right now. But it's a fun show. It's actually this year accompanied by a multimedia slideshow that has artwork from the time that features, a lot of these themes. And it's in good fun, and we dress a little bit like zombie orchestra members from days past. So
it's a little campy, but in a good way.
Campy, I can assure you, everybody here, including our listeners, like campy. And for Halloween, the Saturday before Halloween, it's going to be a lot of fun. And the new Hazlett has great facilities for that multimedia.
They do.
Imagery,
yes.
Great acoustics, too.
Right. But yes. We're looking forward to they're actually co-presenting with us this year, the new Hazlett. So we're having fun working with them on both the Baby Baroque show at 3 and the Tales and Tunes of the Baroque at 7:30 on October 25th.
We should mention, too, that we have a concert of a group that we're presenting tomorrow at 2:30 at Shadyside Presbyterian, and this is with a forte piano, which is kind of the predecessor of the modern-day piano. In fact, Scott and I are going to go help unload that instrument later on today.
Shadyside Presbyterian Church.
Shadyside Presbyterian Church. And it's the Beethoven Opus 1 Piano Trios, so the first published work of a young Beethoven.
That's exciting. And a forte piano, is that larger?
It's smaller, generally, but it's the first of the piano of the keyboard instruments to use that hammer mechanism that defines the piano as opposed to a harpsichord or a clavichord.
And that concert is today at 3:30.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, 2:30.
At Shadyside Presbyterian.
Okay.
In Shadyside. Yeah, so it's a beautiful venue and really fantastic players. David Brightman is a forte pianist who teaches at Oberlin College, and Jaap Terlinden is a legendary Baroque cellist originally from the Netherlands, but lives also now in the Oberlin area and teaches there. And then the violinist is Alan Chu, who some people might remember as the concertmaster of Apollo's Fire when he played here a couple seasons back. And all three really phenomenal musicians.
Well, that sounds wonderful, and that's going to be tomorrow, October 19th. I want to be sure, I'd like your music to have the last word of our interaction, but is there anything else you'd like to say about Chatham Baroque or events coming up that you didn't have space to talk about?
No, just hope people will come out and join us, especially if you've never been to a concert. I think the Tales and Tunes of the Baroque is a great way kind of to introduce yourself to us in a more kind of lighthearted atmosphere. And but if you love, the real thing, Beethoven, tomorrow is going to be a phenomenal show in Shadyside at Shadyside Presbyterian.
And we've talked about a lot of performances, categories and dates. If you go to chathambaroque.org, you can see and learn everything you need to know. Now, you have another set of movements from a different composer. Can you explain what you're about to play?
We'll play a sonata now by Arcangelo Corelli, living about the same time, a little bit earlier than Johann Sebastian Bach. As the name might suggest, he lived in Italy, in Rome specifically, and played the violin and was known throughout Europe, both for his compositions. He published 6 opuses, all instrumental work, and his playing. He would tour as a solo violinist. So this is a good deal. It begins with the slow adagio, and then we're going to play the last movement, which is fast allegro in a style that's kind of like a jig, or the Italian version.
With our thanks for being with us this morning, here's Chatham Baroque.
Thank you.
Chatham Baroque. Look for them for Chatham Baroque next Saturday, a week from today, at the New Hayslip Theater, and learn more about their work at chathambaroque.org.